talk about answered prayer.
Yeah.
And I was studying some prayer in the Bible recently. And I think, you know, Jesus told his disciples that you should ask for whatever you need. And if you're believing, you'll get it from God, and how God provides them as sons. And then how Jesus in the garden, before he was to die, prayed that the cup would be taken from him, or that it wouldn't happen, but he says, your will be done. And I was just thinking how that's a really great example to people, to show them that God doesn't answer every one of your prayers. Because even when God prayed to God, who also said, you know, ask and you'll receive, he didn't receive the thing that he was praying for.
Yeah, so Jesus asked to take the cup away from him. Of course, he also asked for God's will to be done. So he's kind of hedging his bets there, I guess. Yeah, he asked to take the cup from him, and it didn't happen.
As a man, he didn't want the cup.
Right,
as God,
right. Yeah, so the doctrine there is that, you know, we have God manifest in the flesh and Jesus. Yeah, that's interesting. I had not thought about that before, that Jesus' prayer didn't get answered.
We just often bring up the example of Paul praying that a thorn in his flesh would be removed. Uh-huh. But, you know, some people will brush that off and say, well, you know, that's just Paul.
Yeah.
But what about when Jesus prays and doesn't get his?
Right. Even in the Old Testament, under the law, especially under the Old Testament, everyone's prayer doesn't get answered. I mean, you hear prayers by David or those in the Old Testament that God doesn't answer their prayer. It's only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus is teaching them about the kingdom come and the powers that they'll have, that he gives these promises that whatever you ask, I mean, you don't find that in the Old Testament, whatever you ask, you'll receive. But he gives this power to his apostles because they're going to be filled with the Spirit, and so what they ask will be, you know, by the unction of the Spirit, and it will happen for them to do ministry. So you see Peter, you know, healing the lame man in Acts chapter 3. You know, how did Peter trigger that? Did he say some magic formula? What did he do? Well, he had the Spirit in him, you know, and the Spirit healed that man. It wasn't Peter. He said it himself. You know, so that's a hard thing to grasp. But yeah, prayer is not a magic wand. It's not the genie in the lamp. It is truly communication with God, which means, you know, God's a person. God is a being, just like you are a being. You know, that you can communicate to, and He has a will, and His will is better than your will, and it's going to be done, unlike your will. And so you pray to Him, knowing what He has done. You pray to Him at making requests from where you're at on the battle lines, you know. And prayer is needed for your faith to be exercised. That's why prayer is important, you know, to exercise your faith, to increase your love for the Lord. Otherwise, what tends to happen is you get involved in a book or in your actions thinking, I don't need God at all. Because, you know, why do I need Him? So you don't pray. When you pray, you have to consider that I'm talking to the God of the universe, and I'm talking to the Lord that saved me, you know, and you have to exercise that faith that He hears me, you know, and that He's real.
Key.
Yeah.
You have to realize that He's hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not just you talking to the wall. And that's a faith thing, obviously. I mean, how do you prove that? Yeah.
I never really thought about how foundational understanding what the Spirit is doing is to prayer until you just connected it like that, and it's obvious. But if you don't understand what the Spirit is doing, or you see how the Spirit, what the Spirit, ministry of the Spirit was, and assume that's what the Spirit always does, it's going to affect how you pray.
Yeah.
Because we can't pray as the apostles prayed, because we don't have the Spirit in the way that they had the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It changes what you ask for, what you do, and what you say.
Right. It's not your prayer that gets the thing answered.
Right.
You know, which is another way to put maybe what you're saying. It's God that knows it. And so when He gave the promise, you'll get, you know, or God will give. Well, God's got to do that. It's not your words or your you know, your spirituality that somehow invokes some sort of law of nature or something. You know, you're praying to God, and He does it. So if you're praying to God, and that's not what God's doing today, that's His prerogative, you see. So you're right. When the Spirit's doing something different, you know, you can pray to the Spirit, hey, could you part these waters so I don't have to boat over this river, you know? And you probably won't get that answered.
Pray to God and
on his agenda, it ain't going to happen.
Right. And yet at the same time, you're talking to a person. So people ask, well, can I pray for this? Or can I pray for that? You know, well, you're talking to God. So what do you want to say to him? You know, it's not a matter of, you know, do I have the right coin to put in the right slot? You know, it's God. You've got concerns, you've got worries, you've got cares. You know, pray about them, right? It's just you pray as you do everything in your life with the knowledge of God's word and what he's doing. So you have to recognize that. If you believe what God is doing today is according to the revelation of the mystery, that when you pray to him, you already know his, you know, what he's doing, and you're going to pray to him because of your concerns. You know, so and prayer really does exercise your faith that way when you do it believing, which is what Jesus said in his earthly ministry. You know, if you pray believing. People take that to be the magic wand, you know, of why you get prayers answered. Well, it's not how you get your prayers answered, but when you pray believing, you're talking to God, believing that he hears you, that's an exercise of faith that does strengthen you in your inner man, is what that does. And when you pray consistently that way, your inner man will be stronger. Okay, it just happens that way. Prayer, as other pastors have said in the past, is the breath of the Christian, the life breath of the Christian. You get life from Christ, but if you don't pray, you will spiritually wither. Okay, and your inner man will be weak, and you will think you're in this life all by yourself, and you'll be eventually discouraged because you can't handle the weight of the things in this world. It's only you and Christ that can do that. I can do all things through Christ, you see. So pray to him and strengthen your inner man that way. But all this came from Aaron's comment about Jesus' prayer not getting answered. But yeah. And based on what I just said right there, you can see that also working in Jesus' life, where when he prayed to the Father, when he was done praying that night, he was going to the cross. He was sweating tears of blood. He prayed for the cup taken away, but he was going to the cross. And he was strengthened in that way, in his flesh, you know, to do that. So Jesus not only prayed in the garden, but he prayed throughout his ministry. You've heard the verses before, how he went up to a mountain and prayed, or he woke up early and prayed. Why did he do that? You know, why did Jesus pray? Which is it has theological implications as well, but why did he pray? Because that's what God made us for, communication with him. And unlike the Garden of Eden, he's not walking around you, but he's omnipresent. He hears you, and so you pray to him, you know. And so he did that to strengthen in his flesh his goals, what he was sent to do. So, and he said in his earthly ministry, when he prays, the Father hears him. You know, the way Jesus spoke in his earthly ministry about him praying, he said God hears us. John says God hears them. Of course, John says in 1 John 5 that the way we know he hears us is that he answers our prayer. Well, that was according to the promises God gave them. That's not how you know he hears you. You know he hears you by faith, because you read the scripture and how he's done this before and how what he's doing today. But we need more prayer. When you're in situations like this present evil world, like this past week, for example, tragedies and whatnot, prayer helps extremely. And what the world wants to think about prayer is that, well, how can prayer help? I mean, if you're praying for deliverance out of this circumstance and it doesn't happen, prayer failed, it didn't work. Well, that's a very shallow and narrow idea of prayer. There's other ways prayer works in you, for example, to strengthen you to do what is necessary, to strengthen you to do what is right or what you can, you know, to comfort you, to strengthen you. And that's what prayer is. And when you're strengthened, you being the hands and feet in this world can strengthen other people. And so prayer works this way as well. So we not only need God's word, but we need God's spirit in you in prayer to help strengthen you, other members of the body, and to do ministry work, you know. So it all begins with that prayer. Ministry work begins with that prayer. You can learn doctrine, doctrine, and doctrine until you put your foot out there and take that first step of ministry, until you start actively putting it into practice. It doesn't have any effect on you, you see. You see, I can take the right division quiz and I got all the right answers. Great. But it doesn't have any effect and change in your life until you actually start to do it. You know, start to act upon it. And prayer is part of that.